who've been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never reconcile.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And these are indeed smug days, Andy.
Yeah, smug, yes. Starting to get nerve-wracking, feeling the finals coming, but...
But how nervous can you be for something that's going to be happening in 4 weeks' time?
I'm building up to it. I was very... The Jack kicking 10 was great by itself, but it was also great because it made an otherwise deathly dull game really entertaining right to the death.
Yeah. So, there was that. I did have the thought at one stage in the third quarter that if we'd put our mind to it, we could have had Josh Caddy kick 10 instead.
Oh, absolutely. But I think part of the thing, Caddy started kicking a lot of goals after Jack started running right, and they needed to shut him down. So I think the sort of, we could have, like, it was, you might not have been able to choose which one kicked 10, if you know what I mean. Mm.
Yeah.
Like, there was definitely a team effort thing going on, and once Caddy got off the leash, they had to go back to playing proper team defence again. So, if Jack didn't get you, Josh would.
It was pretty fun. One of my favourite things about Jack kicking 10 was you could almost see the clash in Jack Higgins' brain between the reptile part of his brain that wanted to kick the goals when he got close, and then the, oh, heck, Monday morning film session is going to be unpleasant unless I pass it to Jack in this moment. And both times in the last quarter, he made the right decision.
Yeah, he made the right decision from a team perspective. In the last shot, he absolutely... Oh, in a normal game, he should have shot the goal. He was on his back foot, running into goal, straight shot. But yeah, no one was complaining.
No, it was good times. It did. I mean, it's stating the obvious to say that, you know, the Gold Coast project isn't going well. But
hot take there.
But it was the Groundhog Day feeling of it, that it was literally 2013, 2014. You know, very young team, got some good young talent, not much senior leadership, barely competitive. And even those early teams possibly even had more talent. I mean, they had a couple of good young players, but that's the worst. I think that's the worst goal to goal line I've ever seen.
And I know, yeah, hot take, they're really bad, but you could just tell so early on that they were terrible. Mm. Like it was like watching bad 80s football with no defence whatsoever.
No.
And it got me thinking, was what would Jack have been like in the days where there were 6 forwards and 6 backs and people played their position and the key forwards didn't have to do defensive running and all the things they do these days. I reckon if he played as a sort of traditional Dunstall role, he might have kicked he might have been a century goal kicker in 1 year.
Well, that actually struck me about all the highlights of Jack from Richo from the 1990s was how much space he had to kick goals a lot of the time. Like he was gathering the ball, and there wasn't these enormous packs of players around the ball. Like, yeah. It was better in my day is misplaced nostalgia, because the players are clearly bigger, faster, and more skilled. But yeah, the game is more congested, and you know we had multiple 100 goal kickers in a season, rather than, you know, I think people would lose their minds if we had 100 goals kicked in a season these days.
Yeah, and that was the first, as pointed out in the commentary, that was the first double the first time anyone had got to 10 goals in a game this year. But other guys too, like Jaden Short, he just looked so quick and like he was running on top of the ground. Like he looked like it was a second grade game, and he was a guy coming back from injury. He plays in the first and was just better than everyone else.
Yeah. And look, it was very nice conditions. I think people got tired by the end of it. And look, we got out of it with no serious injuries. Unfortunately, Kane Lambert's got an ankle, which is going to cost him the next couple of weeks, and a whole bunch of players developed injuries at training today and have had to have been left out. But I think it was a pretty solid pass, Mark.
Oh, yeah, it was fine. You know, I mean, we went up there expecting to flog them, and we did, and it was a fun game to boot. Interestingly, you know, just analysing the game, it's hard to draw too much from it. I mean, there's a couple of obvious things. But before we get to the Ruckman, Shane Edwards had his career best game by the AFL rankings. Now, admittedly, the AFL rankings haven't been going as long as his career, but he wasn't exactly a stat monster, he's had 180 rated games, and that was his best of 180. Now, he's played around 220, but he wasn't exactly a stat monster in his first 60, I think it's fair to assume.
It's been a slow burn.
Yeah, it's fair to assume that was his best ever game, and I think that's probably pretty unusual to play your best ever game at 220, but because by about 220 you've usually peaked and winding down a bit.
Yeah.
Not Shane Edwards, just 17 contested possessions, 85%. He just keeps on getting better.
Yeah, he's having a fantastic season. He should definitely be in at least the All-Australian squad. A feature of Richmond this year, people have talked about, you know, we've had a pretty good run with injuries. One thing that has been extremely impressive is how well people have come back from injuries, and I thought Jack Graham was looking good.
He had a tackle which you got a hold in the ball from and which led to a goal within the first 60 seconds.
Yeah, know your brand.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he didn't do anything amazing statistically, but he hasn't been. But he's been very solid, and he brings something that other people don't.
Yeah, and he was instantly back to his level, which I was really pleased to see. You talked about career highs. Dan Rioli had a big career high.
By a long way.
Was this a sneak peek to the future of him being able to play more in midfield?
Yeah, that's a good call. I don't know. I mean, it's sort of like there's an asterisk to it, isn't there?
Mm. Yeah. There was lots of space, which although we play on the MCG, you know, biggest ground in the competition, so there is a bit of space there. But yeah.
But the lack of defensive pressure created you know, a lot, you know, was bigger factor than the game, than the ground. But look, the numbers were promising, you know, he's never shown it's an evolution in his game, and that was one of the more exciting things, I thought.
Yeah, because the challenge for Cyril to play big moments in midfield was always that. Coming into the AFL, he had a similar sort of... He had a slightly below average 3K time trial for a ruckman. And sort of below draftable standard for a midfielder. So, yeah, he just didn't have the aerobic base. Whereas Dan Rioli was top 10% in the AFL at the draft camp. So he sort of came in with a much bigger base fitness level. So, yeah, something to work with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, on that, I did... I saw a very amusing post on one of the forums about a guy had ran into Dan Rioli at a petrol station, and he'd asked him, you know, oh, how's Morris Rioli Jr.? And, you know, gave him a pump up and asked, oh, so do you think Cyril will ever come back? And he goes, nah, bro, he's going to be too fat from eating turtle.
Good answer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, very fond of Dan Rioli.
Almost sounds a tad apocryphal, but, you know, whatever. I like
it. It really rang true, I've got to say. I did... Look, we had hardly any poor performers on the day. Nathan Broad does give me some worry, actually. Like, if I'm thinking about, you know, when other teams put us under pressure, who's more susceptible to generating turnovers? A bit too much Dave Asprey and Nathan Broad in possession chains isn't a good thing, I think.
Well, that's all right. We fixed the problem because we brought Rhys Conker back into the team, so I can just outlet to him.
Yeah.
I don't worry, Nathan. I don't worry. I hear where you're going. And I've always, I don't know, I've had Nathan Broad on a level above Dave Asprey.
Mm.
I don't have the advanced metrics to back it up, but I've always just felt that watching them play. But I hear where you're going. But, you know, on the flip side is one thing I noticed, we talked about, I thought Ellis was much better because he wasn't getting nearly as much as the ball. He was playing more of a cameo role because Hooley was back. And yeah. to your point about coming back well from injury.
Yeah, exactly. Looked good, disposed the ball well. Yeah, very, very reassuring performance, I thought.
Now, there was a moment early in the game where Trent Cotchin got crunched in a tackle, and I did think, why is he playing?
Yeah.
Maybe the coaches did too, because they've rested him this week. Osru, you know, it is actually plausible he got injured, because he only had 12 possessions, so...
He did, they sat him out the whole of the last quarter as well, so yeah, I reckon he had a niggle, and I also think that if this was the final, he'd be playing, and there'd be no discussion of it.
Yeah, that's true, but you know, it's not good. Like, I mean, we talked about Lambert before. I mean, whatever Cochin's got, I'm hoping he's getting right. But those sort of niggling ankles, if he's 10% off, that hurts you. You know,
that's the sword, because he is. And look, we should, you know, obviously very pleased about his re-signing for another 2 years, and it's very much the indispensable five who were all signed, I think, through 2021. Which is,
yeah, I'll repeat all my previous rants about if they release contract data, this would be so much more interesting.
I know.
Because there may be a really interesting strategy going on, but instead we get, let's be excited about a player re-signing who was already signed up for two more years anyway. Anyway, I don't think any of us were sleeping nights, but you know how we talked, call me when I said a few weeks ago when we re-signed, who did we re-sign for a few extra years? It was a Jack when he was already got a few years. And I said, call me back when we re-signed Shorty. Well, we did that. Now it's the Sean Grigg. Where's the social media outrage that Sean Grigg's not re-signed? That's what I want to know.
I know, and that is the level that we are at is worrying about Grigg and Hooley, because there's no one else. You know, Jacob Townsend. Yeah.
By the way, just I did want to bring up Sean Grigg for a reason. He got coaches' votes.
Yeah, he played well.
Yeah, he did. Lots of contested possessions. Quite a good game.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, you've mentioned Ruckman and the backup specifically. What did you think about Big Ivan Soldo? And particularly, did you enjoy this week's Coach's Corner with his cousin?
Yeah.
did the sun rise in the east this morning?
Yeah. Look, I thought... I said on Twitter, he plays like a baby deer. I know it's a nickname for Ruckman, but it's really true in his case. He's got those big long limbs. But he's strong and he bustles in, like we've said before. And actually, at halftime, he'd had a couple of nice goal assists. You know, he got that tackle that led to the caddy round the corner shot, and he also kicked that ball out. You know, and he's a physical presence, and we're winning the hit-outs. Now, we didn't win it for the game in the end.
Against a guy who's third in the AFL for hit-outs, and is in a... I didn't quite realise Jared Witts was that big, but he is a full... you know, if he's an American basketball player, he's 6'11" and 240 pounds. He is a really big human being.
Yeah, and look, is... He... you can make the case for Soldo that he hasn't had that much mass fatness since return from injury. So he might have got tanked a bit. He might have tanked a bit in the hot weather in the second half. Mm. So I thought it was an eminently credible performance.
Couple of goal assists.
And he had 11 possessions, which is not awful.
Yeah, had some clearances. We got beaten in the clearances, but no, I thought it made me go and touch wood. We don't have to see it, but if we for a final against most of the top eight, I think we could win with Ivan Solder.
Well, I don't think we'll get to play most of the top eight. I think we'll only take top four teams, hopefully. It would worry me against Collingwood.
Collingwood's a problem.
I think it would be sort of top five worst injuries.
Mm.
Actually, yeah. Top three.
Well, hopefully it doesn't happen.
Yeah, exactly. Rather grim thought process. Anyone else stand out to you?
No, not really. It was just a fun game.
It was a fun game. It was nice, you know, some of our favourites, like Jack, like it was a celebration of Jack, but, you know, as we mentioned, Edwards, and, you know, it was fun to have some of those guys back.
You can't take these things for granted because, you know, you never know. The 2016 Bulldogs went from premiers to long-term rebuilding project within barely 12 months. So you can never take these things for granted. But, yeah, it was enjoyable.
Anyway, I wanted to ask you straight away. So last week, Nick, you interviewed George McGuinness, yeah. Australian social commentator and former Australian journalist and most notably Tiger fan.
Richmond fanatic, yeah.
Yeah, what was your favourite bit of the interview?
Oh, look, my favourite bit was definitely...
the bit where you got to talk about Richmond?
Yeah. Oh, my God, he can talk about Richmond. Like, he pretty much met him, hit record, we did the interview... Finished interview, like he could talk underwater about Richmond. I loved the bit about how the suburb, this was the first premiership since the Great Depression where the suburb of Richmond went nuts afterwards. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, that was nice. I did like that historical link. Like, he really... I mean, as he said himself, his basic thesis is pretty obvious, but, he built it well.
Mm.
I did think it was sort of, you know, the political... You can overdo the political analogy. I haven't finished the podcast yet. I'm listening to it in 10-minute blocks. Sort of the difference between a prime minister, the equivalent of doing it in politics is, like, sacking all of your front bench but keeping the prime minister. So it's... It is different to what we've been doing in Australian politics, but, you know, the sort of the slight difference also in football is generally in politics, if you sack the leader, everyone else goes up a level because there's an extra job created at the top.
It's not that everyone gets wiped out.
Yeah, whereas in football, generally when the coach gets sacked, a lot of other people do too. So, yeah, it was anyway. It was a nice and unique take.
Fun. Yeah. I enjoyed it. And I didn't actually a couple of things I didn't get the chance to really talk to him about was in the book he talks about how politics used to be very AFL centric, but since it's been dominated by Sydney for the past 20 years that. The AFL tipping competition's really dropped off.
Well, yeah, you know, arguably it's been correlated with the decline in what some people perceive as Australian governance, but we digress.
the other part actually was part of the book that got reproduced in the Football Record was some historical stuff about how when Richmond was in the VFA and Collingwood was in the VFL, that Collingwood and Richmond were sort of natural allies and that Collingwood were very supportive of us when we first entered the VFL. What a strange and unnatural circumstance that was.
Yeah, indeed. But yeah, fun interview, and it was good of him to give his time.
Yeah, no. Really good. It's a fun book, and you get the chance to read more about the 2017 Premiership.
And you should go and download the podcast. VFL.
Yep. So the VFL team's really stepped back the past few weeks. That's a mix of having a few guys out injured, but yeah, a few guys out of form as well, unfortunately.
Yeah, rather salty VFL report, as you pointed out to me.
Actually quite enjoyed it. It is, I gotta say, it is quite surprising that Liam Baker got recalled, given that the only thing they said about him in the coach's review was a quiet day.
Yes, or indeed, and Conker played, having had 19 disposals and not playing at the game, and
rolled the other ankle.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's safe to say the direct link between VFL performance and selection is not very high at the moment.
Look, Ryan Gathwaite's been a rock all year for the VFL team, and
but it's not like they had any choice once they arrested Asprey.
Not like they had a choice, but we'll have three first year players in the team. We're younger than Essendon by a reasonable margin.
Any other performances that stood out to you?
Corey Ellis played well on halfback, but I think it's pretty clear that for both him and Miles, the ticket's been stamped.
Miles was on our VFL list.
I had three guys I wanted to mention. Derek Eglamosi Smith played his first game in, I think, 4 months or so. And
I reckon that's his first mention on the podcast since we picked him up.
Yep. Had some nice moments. He's quick. He's quick and he can kick a football. So, it's not a bad base to start with. Callum Coleman-Jones had 46 hit-outs.
Yeah, that was big. That was very noticeable.
Six tackles, which is pretty solid work. Ben Miller got some love for his performance as well, although he is pretty allergic to winning the football.
Yeah. True. Eight disposals, five of which contested. Yeah, he's not getting many running hand passes, is he?
No. For a guy who is a really long kick and quite a good runner, seemingly that's just not his thing.
Anyway, Nick, I interrupted you rudely when you were about to start hanging out on Essendon.
Well, it is... Look, what can you say, though? It's nice that we get to see Brendan Goddard's second last game and to go out with as much dignity as he's shown in all of his time at Essendon. It's almost a shame that they don't have a really good chance to make the finals, because it would show up our complete indifference to the outcome of this match even more.
Yeah, we haven't gone the full tank, though. I'm sure we've rested a lot of guys, but, you know, we've brought Nunk back, and we've played Dusty, and we've played Caddy, and... also, you probably wouldn't rest Caddy because he missed a few games in the middle of the year, but we're playing Shedder, who's played every game.
I reckon at selection next week. I reckon we might see somebody rested.
Well, the problem with resting people next week is you've got to have 2 weeks off.
Yeah, that's true. Which would be a thing.
Yeah, so I think this was like we're sort of. I think you might actually find that all the players that are rested are actually genuinely carrying injuries, just not injuries that would necessarily have kept them out of a life and death game.
Yeah, that's true.
Because there was just like when I went through the guys I would rest, Cochin was number one on my list, but Asprey, I would have actually rested Rance ahead of Asprey. you know, if it was just a wear and tear issue.
Mm.
But anyway, I think we've rested just enough to make the game potentially competitive.
Yeah, the betting line moved from about 4 goals to about 15 points or
so. I would like that. If we were a full strength team, I would really like us to beat a 24 point spread.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. They have been playing. Oh, look, their second half of the year is much better than their first half, which wasn't hard since the first third of the season was an utter humiliation. And we humiliated them last time.
Oh, just destroyed them.
Yeah, that was so much fun. They're playing a bit better. And actually, one of the things that was a major issue for them last time was just how small they were in midfield. They've got David Myers and Darcy Parrish, who neither of them are the most elegant footballers, but they're both quite big, and so that they have got a bit more size than they used to. Zach Merritt and Andrew McGrath are quite, you know, zippy little players that can do some damage. Jake Stringer was good against us last time. They've got quite a bit of talent. They're sort of the classic fringe top eight, can beat anyone, can lose to anyone. You know, they hope that they're improving, but they might not. So,
yeah, their age profile is distinctly, as you say, middle of the table-y.
Yeah, yeah. Everything about them is a bit middle of the table. And look, they've got some talent, and when they're playing well, they can be very hard to stop. Fantasia is a bit of a loss for them. Yeah, we could lose.
Yeah, because they've had a couple of injuries, haven't they? So
yeah.
So look, it's made vaguely interesting by a couple of absences, but I still think we'll get it done.
Yeah, I still think we'll win, but yeah, I think there's a genuine question about if there's a certain, you know, coming back from the Gold Coast on a short break, just if they rotate guys a bit more, key guys more than they otherwise would, you know, maybe just don't play to win quite as much, because honestly it doesn't, when you're effectively two games clear with two games to play, it just doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, like, we might have a real problem with clearances, and I know that's not Essendon's strength, but you just think about the chemistry about who's playing in there.
Yeah.
They just, a lot of them will probably be playing matchups that, you know, Shedder might play a lot more in the centre square, and he's a good centre square clearance player, much better than Conker, actually, but does that mean the rotations are all going to be different, the chemistry is going to be different. The
rotations will be very different. I think more of Shedder, more of Caddy, more of Higgins, more of Graham. No, which will be interesting to see. And
yeah.
But my
like some of the chemistry that they built up recently.
Yeah. Anyway, oh, yeah, definitely. And I did have the thought that, you know, sort of the never-ending Tom Lynch rumour, Mill continues to grind, but if we did get him, that would mean, I don't think there are big questions of fit with Jack, but I do really think it means something for Josh Caddy. He's way not the number two marking target anymore.
Yeah, that's true. And it will, not affect his game, but he's a fairly robust footballer, Josh Caddy, in his own way.
Yeah, and that's a good problem to have, I think.
Yeah, actually, his 2017 was not a great season by his standards. Mm. Advanced Metrics really liked him as a Geelong player, and he's having a good year.
Yeah,
he's been borderline All Australian, according to the rankings. So and Geelong played two forwards, of course, two tall forwards when he was playing for them.
Mm. As pretty much every other team does.
Yes. Well, anyway, it should be interesting.
It should be fun. Look, by the time they get to run out there and I see those Essendon jumpers, I really want us to win.
Yeah, absolutely. The old feelings will come back.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.